Now, that meeting between the Minister for Justice and the UK's Home Secretary, which was due to take place today, well, it's been postponed. It was scheduled amid tensions between both countries over the movement of people seeking asylum from one country to the other. Last week, Minister McEntee told the Joint Oireachtas This Committee that 80% of people arriving in the Republic to claim asylum had crossed the border from the north. We're joined by Daniel Holder, Director of the Committee on the Administration of Justice. Daniel, you're joining us from the north. Do you believe that claim that 80% of people arriving in the Republic travelled from north of the border?
No, we're pretty sceptical about that claim, to be honest. I mean, when you look at what the Department of Justice said, they said the border wasn't monitored routinely. And the 80% seems to be based on the fact that a lot of international protection applications are happening in country, in the Mount Street office, rather than happening in ports and airports. But there's a broad range of reasons why that would be the case. And a lot of people make their asylum claims in country, not at arrival at port. They don't realise you need to do it at port. Or take, for example, say, if someone who's in Ireland, not as a refugee, but as, say, a medical student, they weren't in need of international protection when they arrived. But then something happens. They're from a very undemocratic regime. A family member gets arrested, gets tortured, gets detained, and they know they're going to be in a similar risk if they go back. And at that point is the point when they seek international protection. So we're sceptical, and it's noticed this isn't the first time this type of claim's been made. When the British government's Rwanda policy was launched a couple of years ago, back in 2022, very similar claim was made that was treated with great scepticism by the ESRA, who urged that it was treated with quite considerable caution, because not only were in-country applications not really indicative of how many people were crossing a land border, but equally there were many other push factors that were leading to increases in international protection applications rather than the UK policy.
On a purely practical level, people are taking a huge risk, high risks to their lives, getting to Britain in the first place. Is it likely that they would take a further risk getting into another boat to cross the Irish Sea to arrive in the north of Ireland?
Well, I think that the idea is people would use the normal transport routes because there are no border controls between Britain and Northern Ireland, but that does seem less likely. I mean, this is a really extreme action of the British government, not just the Rwanda plan, but the what The Guardian has, and earlier on your programme was flagged, at the potential for them to begin to actually intern refugees in internment camps this week in the mouth of an election and set up a clash with the EU via Ireland. It's straight out of the populist right-wing playbook. We shouldn't lose sight of the human misery that it's going to create. I mean, people's lives are pawns in this game, but it's not necessarily the case that people who are concerned that they're going to be interned in Britain are going to risk making another journey in which they could be interned en route and detained en route, rather than simply going to ground in Britain. It's important to say as well, there's no evidence, and you mentioned that the risk of people making the journeys, it was mentioned in your programme earlier on, there's no evidence this policy is actually deterring people from migrating, because as we know, it's really the push factors that push people to migrate.
And you're keen to point
poverty.
Out
we
that
we know that from our own history.
Yeah, and you're keen to point out that any intergovernmental meeting on this will not be talking about PSNI cooperation, because the police in the north don't have any role in immigration matters.
They absolutely do not, and we very much want to keep it that way. Immigration should not be a criminal matter. PSNI don't have an immigration role. It is the UK Home Office that handle immigration, and this is all a product of UK policy, and certainly in terms of an Irish government response, we'd be urging, look, let's not punish the victims here, let's challenge the British government that's responsible for the policy. There's no real practical policy response in terms of what the Irish government can do. You clearly can't close the land border or ask everyone to produce a passport when crossing the land border. There's no legal basis for that. But what you also can't do is simply do select further, and there's already an issue with this happening, and the risk is that it will now increase, to do sort of selective passport checks on the land border, because what that ends up being is, given as you can't tell who's Irish and who's not by looking at them, ethnic indicators like skin colour are used, and you end up with the potential for racial profiling and mass racial discrimination in a de facto situation where Black Irish citizens have to carry passports over the border, white citizens do not. That's really not an option. The only option I'd really see for the Irish government here is, well, diplomacy with the current British government. And we know already that's going to be very, very tough. But the current British government may not last very long. But ultimately, what I'd be doing would be looking at what legal remedy the Irish government may have, looking at potential to take the UK to an international court of justice, in terms of it not complying with its international obligations under the Refugee Convention to try and face down what's happening at the moment.
Thank you very much indeed. Daniel Holder, Director of the Committee on the Administration of Justice.